A tale as old as time, marriage has been viewed as vital to the preservation of morals and civilization. In modern-day China, the couple would hold a wedding ceremony, have a car and apartment to settle down with. That's considered as pretty standard, I suppose, or at least that's what most people want. But what if the couple has none of the above and still ties the knot? A recent survey shows that half of the respondents are willing to do so. They would accept 裸婚, or bare bones marriage. And there's a slightly crude version of this translation that would be naked marriage. And, Okay, so let's talk about this term first, Tony, because I see that smile. What do you think of this phenomenon, so to speak?
Well, bare bones, it's,
skeleton.
To me, it sounds like a wedding that's just at the bare minimum, where you pay for, well, the marriage certificate, and there's a small ceremony where you know, in the West, you would hire, some type of pastor or someone that could read the vows. And yeah, you have a few people come. There's not much invitation. It's a very frugal wedding. Mm-hmm. So bare bones just means whatever it takes to get it done and the cheapest way possible.
But there still would be a ceremony, and there you'd be reading the vows, and you have to employ someone to come in to.
I think it would be really hard to convince someone to get married without a ceremony. In my culture, a lot of women at least want a ceremony where mom and dad are there. But bare bones just means the absolute bare minimum. And I think some people could be able to omit the ceremony, but not many.
Huang Shen, so let's look at this survey and what is the understanding of bare bones marriage, or sometimes called naked marriage, here in China?
Yeah, based on this survey, we can see different people actually, they have different understanding or perception of bare bone marriage. It's mainly depend on to what extent of material conditions you or how much clothes you would like to put on into your marriage. So let's take a look at this survey, which was conducted by the China Youth Daily. It showed that among the 2004 respondents, 64.5%, they regarded a bare bones marriage as getting married without an apartment, and 56.4% perceive it as without a wedding ceremony, and 54.2% think a naked marriage means without a car. So we can see different people define the naked or bare bones marriage in different ways. And also, according to this survey, it showed that around half of the respondents could accept a bare bones marriage or getting married without any major assets or a grand wedding ceremony. I think if we look at the percentage, the vote revealed that 48.3% of the respondents said they could accept a bare bones marriage and 20.5% opposed it. And 92.8% had relatives or friends who had a bare bones marriage.
That is interesting, because first of all, people have different perception of what it constitutes. But also most people, more than 90% of the respondents say that they've seen someone that's married in this condition. So one thing, though, Huang Shen, I like to pick your brains about, that is... Okay, so when we talk about the definition of what a bare bones marriage consists of, the highest percentage of people would say that it's without your own property.
Yeah.
And then there's without the car and without the wedding ceremony. I guess my question here is, if you have an apartment, then one would have assumed you probably already have the car. Do you see that there's like this ranking of possession, because the apartment is the vastly most expensive thing, and I think for most Chinese people this is the biggest purchase we ever make in our lifetime. So is it kind of like the wedding ceremony is the least expensive, I suppose, and then it goes the car, and then the apartment? Because I remember like 10 years ago when first this naked marriage term came about, sort of blast out of nowhere, and then people were like, yeah, we can't afford that apartment. And now I wonder if it's, you know, also the car and even the wedding ceremony. Mm. There's social change and change in conception. During, I think, the 10 years that's passed since this term originally came out.
Well, it's not happening fast enough in the U.S. I wish there was something called a bare bones marriage, or I mean, I wish it was a bit more normalized in the U.S. because I fully believe that it's not really about the ceremony so much. And maybe it's because I'm a guy and I realize that, I mean, in the West, we say like marriage is the bride's day. You know, so a lot of, you know, people put a lot of focus on what the bride wants. But I feel that in the States, it's still a very expensive event. And I was reading on the Fortune magazine, and it stated that the national average cost of a wedding in the U.S. is up to about 35,000, which is, I think in Chinese yuan, it's about 245,000. And that's according to a survey by The Knot, which is a U.S.-based wedding consultancy. And according to The Knot, in Manhattan, okay, it depends on the state. In Manhattan, the average cost of a wedding is about $78,000, which is around, I believe, around 550,000 yuan in China. So,
does that include just the wedding? What does it include?
Well, there's a lot of things. So, there was another survey done by The Knot, and they asked different newlyweds about, you know, different costs that they had to pay. And so for the reception venues, the average is about 16,000. And wedding planners, some people don't like to plan their wedding themselves, so they hire a wedding planner. That'll run you about 2,000 American dollars, which is about 14,000 yuan. And then the average couple spends about 500 on invitations. And then, of course, according to weddingstats.org, the average couple will pay about 42,000 yuan, or about 6,000 USD, for about wedding rings and wedding bands. And there's the cake, and then if you want a live music group, that's going to cost you quite a bit. That's going to be around anywhere from 5,000 yuan to about 28,000 yuan. And on average, the couple spend about 2,700 on photographers. And then, of course, the gowns and the suits. Okay, the gowns are on average are about 1,500. And for the men, we pay about 300 for our suits. So there's just a lot of things here that, you know, people have to factor in, and it's really expensive. And to think about it, it's just one day. It's only one day, and all of this money is gone. So it's just, and I can understand that it's a very important day for, you know, for the couple. But is it really worth that much money?
What about the property? Excuse me, we still need some place to live after this one day. Where are we going? That would be my first question. But Wangsheng, what do you think about this? Like, Tony tells us this, yeah. But that's in Manhattan, so this really prosperous, expensive area in New York City.
No. And then, of course, in like in Arkansas, you know, which
okay.
is in the
I
South.
I hope the price is a little lower.
That's about 20,000.
20,000 so US dollars.
Yeah, US dollars. So in Chinese yuan, that'd be around 140,000 yuan. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's a little pricey, but it's a bit cheaper. So depending on where you're from, it could cost you a little bit more or less, but it's still a very expensive event. And it's something that, you know, and traditionally a lot of American parents would fit the bill for the wedding. But nowadays it seems that, you know, the couples are expected to pay. So I think this idea of bare bones or not having a very extravagant wedding is very appealing, I think, definitely for my generation.
Of Americans. Mm. And here in China, when we see that the top definition for bare bones marriage is getting married without property or yeah. even putting down payment. Mm. So, Huangshan, why do you think bare bones marriage in China is making news? Why are people talking about it? What is the social background about it?
Yeah, because I think it's going against with Chinese traditional value of a decent marriage. Because before...
Oh, decency.
Yeah, because before, I think Chinese people prefer usually the husband's side, the boy's side, need to pay the all the properties, the weddings, because it's a man, they need to shoulder up their responsibility in supporting the family. But I think this change, and many people think it's a positive trend, because people care more for true love instead of some material conditions. But also, I think it's deep-rooted in our social change. Because in many big cities, we know the house prices are staggering high. And recently, I think the government has changed some policies on raising the threshold for loans, for borrowing loans from the bank and to buy a house. So I think this stopped many young people to afford a house of their own. And also now another change of regulation is, before people buy a house because they need to think about their future kids and they want to have a decent education for their kids. So a hukou or a house is very important near the best education resources. But now, even by renting a house, you can still enjoy the same education resources. So for those young parents or those young couples, they think it's not a necessary thing for them to buy a house. So I think people's minds are changing. And also, I think it's come in line with people's mind of, I think the young generation are more independent and they want more freedom. They don't care about the material things and they want true love, maybe. And also, I think sometimes a wedding is for the parents instead of the young couple. So maybe they think, oh, we don't need a really grand ceremony, but we prefer to have maybe a destination wedding. That's cool. And we can enjoy our honeymoon holiday. So maybe that's what they want.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Huang Shan. And you talked about the having the wedding for parents, and I think that's a sentiment that a lot of Chinese young people would share, because the way the wedding is held here in China is, of course, a bit different from what you have in the U.S. Well, first of all, it's not a must to have a priest or a pastor there, and but it's essentially about saying I do in front of so many people, and most of them would possibly be friends of your parents. And the weddings are so huge. Often it's held in a hotel or a restaurant where it can house like 10 tables of guests.
Or even more.
Or sometimes even more. And as young people, we don't have that many friends, I suppose. We don't have that much connection. And I see it's common that young people have a few tables of their friends and colleagues, and then the rest are their parents' friends. And sometimes, and of course, you need to go to every table to say hi and thank them for coming. And I've heard numerous complaints from my married friends that say they go to a few tables and they don't know anybody personally who's there. So then it becomes a little bit of a chore, and you feel that you're doing it for someone else but not for yourself or your bride or your husband. So but it is almost like a social event of the family. And that's more of the traditional way of doing it. And now young people are saying, nuh-uh, this is not for me.
Well, I think that it's, as Huang Shan mentioned earlier, that it's a really big financial burden, especially when you get married. And of course, when kids are on the way, there's a lot more things that you have to consider. And you're shifting your mind from living for yourself to, you know, having a family. And it's, you know, costs of going to school isn't going down, they're going up. And of course, we mentioned earlier, real estate is outrageous, especially in the bigger cities. And so you have to think about how you're going to, you know, distribute your funds. And so having this extravagant wedding and just losing a lot of the money that you've saved up on that, and then having to start over again once you get married, and if you don't necessarily have the money to get an apartment. So I think that this actually is a pretty good move. I think that people are going in, and when you look to your left and to your right, if everyone's doing it, I feel like this practice may be a bit more acceptable, and it could possibly adjust how people feel about, you know, marriage ceremonies and it could actually help a lot of us that are looking to get married at some point, as I'm actually looking to get married myself. And this is something that I was thinking about, and like, how much money am I going to spend for the wedding? And it's just a really, it can be a bit stressful, especially if you're the provider in the relationship.
Yeah. Hmm. And it's really interesting that the findings of this survey would also, I guess, insinuate that some of the girls, or a large percentage of the women that's going into the marriage, are okay with the fact that maybe there is no readily available apartment to move in, or car, or even the traditional sense of a lavish wedding ceremony. Mm. So
that's a beautiful thing.
or am I being too positive about this? What are your understanding of the figures here, Huang Shen?
I think most of the females, they are quite comfortable about having a bare bones marriage, because
according to this survey,
yeah, just based on the
survey, 2,000 people.
Yes, maybe this is more true to bigger cities, because I think in bigger cities, and women, they are more independent. Mm. They want more power, and also I think they're. Women's social status has increased a lot throughout the years. And now I think most of the females, they think we don't need to rely on our husband. We can also create a better future by ourselves. And I think the thing they care about is the quality or the personality of their husband instead of their material conditions. Mm-hmm. I think besides, if you can offer a property or a house, I think the girls or the potential brides, they care more about if you have the potential of or the possibility to create a better future for the family. Mm. So because I think for a good marriage, the couple want to grow together. You can't let one side outshine the other side, and you need to grow up together. So I think sometimes when girls talk about, oh, I want the guy can afford a property, it's not about the real property. Maybe sometimes it's the ability to buy a property, or your potentials in buying a property.
I think you mentioned that some of these women said, I want my guy to be able to afford the property, which kind of insinuates that maybe this person is not really putting forward the funds to actually pay for it, you know, or share in the in the payment. So I think nowadays that a lot of women are working, and they're making, you know, they're contributing a lot to, you know, paying for houses. And if they do get married, they have a large say so in this as well. So maybe this may have a bit to do with why they don't want to spend a fortune on a wedding, because they're going to also be paying for the wedding themselves. So, and I know that was the case for the sisters that I have, that a lot of them covered their wedding with their husband. And so they were, I don't want to say frugal, but they were a bit more watchful about where their funds went. Mm-hmm. But in the West, it's just a lot of women have this perception that it is the highlight of their lives. And so for this reason, they have all of these images of being very lavish and luxurious, and you know, they want it to be memorable, and they're easily influenced by what other people are doing. And there's a huge industry in the U.S. on getting married. And it's just, you know, there's the DJs, and there's these projectors that show lots of pictures of you when you get first, you know, met. And so it's really easy to get caught up in that and just want to just spend a lot of money.
Oh, I see. Well, here maybe we see a difference in what the female mind believes in, and maybe luckily for the guys,
yes,
that there has not really been such a strong marketing mechanism that's geared towards the wedding. Or, I mean, I know a lot of girls want that, but here in China, but it's not as strong, I suppose. We don't necessarily see this as the most important day in our lives. Not so much, but certainly I think with Chinese ladies, there's the practical side, which I totally understand that you want to know where I'm going to be living, that kind of thing. So maybe, but yeah, considering the price of that inclination, maybe in a way that's a bit more pressure. But we see that now the majority, or just above half of the respondents of one survey, saying that, yeah, totally fine, naked marriage or bare bone marriage. And I consulted a few moms and dads out there, and the response I got was funny.
Different, I guess.
Yeah. all of them said, bare bones marriage? Why is that even in the discussion? We all married naked, meaning that they had no material goods and they had none of the above that we mentioned. And for our mom and dad's generation, nobody was asking for above bare bones, I guess. So what do you say about this mega change between the generations?
That's really interesting. And I think that it's wonderful that the parents have some support, because if the family didn't agree and expected these expensive ceremonies for, you know, for the children, I think that it would be really tough. It would be a lot more pressure for people. So I think it's because it's not really part of my culture. It's weddings always have this, you know, this criteria. So it's a bit, it's wonderful here that it's not quite like that.
And also I find a very interesting point. It's kind of ironic because you say when our parents, they got married, they were quite equal, like background, and they don't ask for some material stuff. But now actually the young couples, they don't care about is a bare bone marriage or not, but usually the parents.
They
want like their kids to marry to a person who have the eco social status or can provide a better living condition for their girls.
So that's so interesting. So when the parents, when they were young, when they were getting married, they didn't ask for material goods. Why? Because there was no material goods. Back then, there was no private property of apartment for you to live in. You waited for your usually public government organ you worked with or your factory to allocate you a place to live. But now, 40 years after China opening up, when there is private wealth and there is there is a lot of people have gotten they here with the accumulation of family wealth, and now parents are parents and they want the best for their kids. So it's loving, but also a bit hard, I suppose, for the party that sees themselves as the provider of a relationship to see if there is that expectation, if they can meet. So that's so interesting, Huangshen. Yeah, the parents, they've changed their perception, I guess, to some extent. And at the same time, one thing we cannot neglect, that is, well, there's a reason why a lot of people don't say, I need this and that to have to marry, because we simply can't afford it.
Yeah.
And there are people who are putting off the idea of marriage.
Yes.
Yes. What are your observations on that, Huangshen?
I think now we can see the marriage rate is dropping every year. And according to a survey, and this year, China dipped to 7.7 couples per 1,000 population and dropping for the fourth consecutive year in terms of the marriage rate. And the rate was peaked at 9.9 per 1,000 couples in 2013. So based on these concrete figures, we can see more and more people, they chose to not get married. And for them, they think maybe if they want to get married, they want to find a pure love.
That's interesting. Because how do you explain that, though?
I would almost feel that it has a lot to do with, it's a big investment, I think, when you get married to someone, especially the wedding, and you want to make sure that this is the right person, because God forbid you have to walk down the aisle again with someone else and make this an additional investment. So I think that it's really important for people to select the right partner. So everyone's really skeptical nowadays.
And also it's good to see that society is a little bit more tolerant for people who have other choices than tying the knot. Well, it's also fine to be single and happy. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this break.